Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Nick Ferguson, Tyler Palumbis, and D-Mac.
And he takes the snap with 14 seconds to go, and he got hit again. He flares it out. Edmonds catches it. Richardson chases him. Burris now gets in there and knocks him out. And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line. Mason Rudolph and Larry Ogunjobi are going down, and the Steelers are kicking Ogunjobi in the head, and the benchers are coming off the field. Both sides are coming off the field. Marquise Pouncey was kicking Ogunjobi in the head.
He runs up the field and gets out of bounds, but that is not a first down pickup in the fall.
We got reaction.
We got flags. And the Steelers, we got a kick in the end zone by a Steeler. And I got a kick in the head.
He tried to hit Mason with the helmet.
Well, this just sets the stage for
the rematch.
Yeah, it does.
It's inexcusable. I don't care, rivalry or not. We can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself. And that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now. It's tough.
Marquise, should Garrett be done for the year for what you did?
Absolutely. 100%. We'll see how serious the NFL is about their players.
Do you expect anything to happen to you?
This one, who cares? My man got hit in the head with a helmet. I mean, I said what I can tell you it is.
Can you remember being that angry on a football field?
Nah, I blacked out. I don't even remember it, really, to be honest with you.
It's got to come back to hurt our team. You know, the guys who jumped in the scrum, I appreciate, you know, my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's all me.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know, but I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I get it. I mean, it's okay, though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully, you know, out there. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Myles Garrett out for the year, maybe longer, suspended indefinitely. Larry Ogunjobi, one game for shoving Rudolph in the back. Marquise Pouncey, three games for the kick. Fellas, start with you, Tyler. What's your reaction to what happened last night and the consequences that have come down?
Most egregious thing I've ever seen in my entire life on a football field, hands down. I have seen similar things attempted, but I've never actually seen the helmet connect on a head like that. And when you saw the right angle of it, man, it was brutal. It was brutal. I watched it over and over and over. And Mason Rudolph got hit with a 6-pound weapon on his head. And look, man, Myles Garrett, I'm glad he's done for the year. In my mind, he should never play again. I think that it is the most outrageous thing I've ever seen done on a football field. You could have killed the guy. You could have caused brain damage. And yeah, in my mind, if you can't control yourself in a moment like that, I don't want you on the football field.
It was one of the wildest things I've ever seen. And I've seen some wild things over, you know, my decade playing in the NFL. And it's something that we should never see, because it's not just about the athletes on the field. It's about the brand and what you project from the brand. How many college kids, how many kids in youth sports, flag football, are watching that Thursday night game? It's the only game that's on, right? There's college games, but that's the only game that's on. So it is something that should never happen. Miles, and the penalty that he sustained thus far, it is righteous. It's going to be a hefty fine. I would even push it maybe a couple of games into 2020. But the idea of saying that he should never play the game of football anymore, I think that is egregious within itself, because Miles is not a bad person. He made a bad decision, and he understands that. Just when you listen to him in his presser after the game, he realizes what he did.
Why do you advocate a lifetime ban?
Because you just put somebody's life at risk. And I'm not kidding you. This is not a sport in which our lives are at risk, but you just put that man's life at risk. You could have killed him. You could have given him permanent brain damage. People have died in bar fights from similar situations like that. And that's got no place being on a football field. If you can lose your cool like that, I get it, man. I've gotten caught up in the moment. I've been in a fight on the field. I've been in a fight off the field. But I also have understood when it's going too far. And I've seen many, many people rip helmets off of other people. It's happened a lot, more often than you would ever think. But I've never actually seen them connect or even very rarely actually attempt to hit somebody in the head. So in my mind, I can't trust you to be on a football field. And if you can't control your emotions, then you shouldn't be out there.
Nick, why do you have a limit? Why is a lifetime ban too much?
Well, it's too much, D-Mac, because we've seen guys in this league do a lot of things. And they've been given the benefit of the doubt and second opportunities. And that goes back to knowing the person themselves, sitting down, talking with that person, understanding, you know, who that person is overall. We've all had moments where we have not been at our best, where we've made poor decisions. And, I mean, it's like the whole idea of people in glass houses shouldn't cast stones. That's the way I look at it, because we've all committed some type of aggressive act. Sometimes they've been followed through on, and sometimes we thought about something, but we just didn't do it. This was a case where, you know, closing seconds of the game, tempers flared, you know, guys lost control, and it was just a poor scene from a football fan perspective. It's just bad for the brand.
I thought, my initial thought was definitely the rest of the year, and I just, you know, thought 16 games a year. You get a year for that. So whatever the remaining games for them are, six games and then another 10 games next year. I actually didn't even think of a lifetime ban, to be quite honest with you. You know, I thought a year suspension would have been pretty significant.
It is significant. It's also not enough in my mind.
Mm. Okay.
You just used a weapon to hit somebody in the head. This is not, you didn't just punch somebody. You didn't just kick somebody. This is the equivalent of picking up a baseball bat or picking up a hammer and hitting somebody in the head with it. That's what this is, guys. Like, this is a really big deal. And if you did this on the street, if you walked up, you got in a fight with somebody on the street, had that person actually gotten knocked out, and I get it, he did not. Although I do believe he's going to have brain damage the rest of his life from that exact moment. There will be something for the rest of his life that will pop up. But what if he got knocked out in that moment? Would you feel different?
Yeah, he bounced back up pretty quick.
What if he got knocked out, though?
Yes.
Would you feel different?
I probably would, yes.
Why? Why?
Because there would have been more obvious damage.
Yeah, but it was the same exact action.
Yeah, you know, it was almost comical how quickly he did bounce back up enough for Ogunjobi to knock him back down. And then they replayed him calling Ogunjobi the B word like a million times. But
the reason that happened, because when Miles swung the helmet, he didn't connect with the crown of the helmet, which is the denser part of the helmet within itself.
Yeah.
It was more the ear pad. So that part kind of caught him in the head. Had Miles hit him with the crown, now the discussion would be entirely different. That's why the act itself, it is so ridiculous and egregious in his own right.
Well, I suppose to Tyler's point, if he hit him with the crown of the helmet, maybe Mason Rudolph wasn't getting up at all.
That's right. And I can almost guarantee you in that moment, he wasn't aware that he was hitting him with the earpiece. I mean, he was swinging a helmet. He didn't know how he was going to hit him or what he was hitting him with. He swung a helmet.
You know, it is funny in baseball, I suppose. Every time you've seen a guy run out to charge the mound, he does not run out with the bat.
Right.
No, he always drops the bat.
Yeah, he has, even though it's a moment of absolute, you know, anger, there's enough common sense, I suppose, that there's a way to do this. Not that this was thought out. Let me go here first. Is Mason Rudolph culpable for any of this?
Not in my mind. No. You know, this guy, he got tackled 2 seconds after the ball was released. And by the way, the game's over. 2 seconds after the ball's released, Myles Garrett, it was not one continuous blow in which he brought him to the ground. He continued to, like, awkwardly wrestle him to the ground. And then not only did he get him to the ground when he shouldn't have, should have been a penalty right then and there, but then he rolls over and pins him. Now, now, like any human being, Rudolph starts to fight back. So I'm not saying Rudolph shouldn't have some sort of fine. I think that they all should have some sort of fine. But in the big picture, I do not think that Rudolph was even remotely the aggressor in this situation. I think he did what any human being would do. When you're pinned on the ground, you start to fight back.
Mm-hmm. D-Mac, all of it was reactionary, right? Looking at Miles' takedown. Now, we can look at the tape and debate whether he knew Mason Rudolph had already delivered the ball. Because if you go two plays before the whole incident took place, the melee, you'll see Miles Garrett do the same thing, take him down not knowing that he delivered the ball. So as an edge rusher, you are taught to finish plays. So that is something that we can try to debate. We don't know. Only Miles can actually answer that question. I was only setting that up just to say, well, how we got to that particular point. Now, you asked a question of culpability, right? From Mason's standpoint, the idea of pulling his helmet, the idea of, you know, an extra foot, you know, in another regions. Right. And then continuing to go after him. To me, at some point, cooler heads have to prevail. When you're in an argument with someone, even if that person is fully charged and they're going off, you have to stop your actions because you are in control. Miles Garrett did not stop his action. He continued. Pouncey continued. It's like, come on, guys. What are we doing here? Stop. Take a breath. Calm down and realize what's going on because everyone, we have to stop our own self.
To be honest, I cannot believe that Pouncey was the only offensive lineman that was hitting him. I cannot believe it. In any offensive line I would have been on, it would have been the expectation that this is a group melee on this dude now. You're going to give this dude his justice. And I'm not saying that you take his helmet off. I'm not saying that you try to kill him. I'm not trying to say that you do the same thing. But it instinctually, you would protect your quarterback.
Well, 71 had him pinned on the ground.
He had him pinned.
When Pouncey came around with the flying, you know.
What Pouncey did, I would have expected
Emmanuel Sanders
offensive
blows.
Lineman to.
So why wasn't there six guys standing around Miles Garrett kicking him?
I don't know. I would have expected there to be more, to be totally honest with you. You know, I saw James Harrison.
Yeah.
He put out a tweet, and James is not exactly a saint, but he wrote, "That's assault at least. 6 months in jail if it's on the street. Now add the weapon, and that's at least a year, right?" I mean, sincerely, if this is not on a sporting field, and this happened in an office, what happens?
That's assault, brother.
Yeah, it'd be different, but things are different on a sporting
Why?
Field. Why? I don't know, because as society, we've deemed it as such.
Shouldn't.
Well, we have.
If we didn't,
there would be police officers from Cleveland arresting Miles Garrett, you know, in the locker room.
They should have.
Well, that
it happened to the hockey player a couple years ago.
But that would mean that we would change everything we know about sports within itself. We've seen altercations like this in the NBA. We've seen them in Major League Baseball. So we can say, well, if a bat is not used, a ball is not used, or a helmet is not used, someone still is assaulted. So it's assault and battery. And usually in a lot of these cases, you know, there are no criminal, there are no civil charges filed.
Well, that's exactly right. But what you just described right there, that is a normal fight in which you're using your hands, in which you are using, which I'm not going to deny that a professional athlete, you can make a case that that dude is a weapon in his own right. But you're talking about two guys that just got in a normal altercation. They did not bring a weapon to the table.
You know what's interesting? Freddie Kitchens afterwards was asked by some, I would assume it's Cleveland reporters, about the tone that he's been setting, which was interesting. I haven't followed Cleveland that closely, but more or less it was, haven't you been building your team up to this moment?
Did you say I okayed fights? I never okayed fights. Did I want them to get after their ass? Yes, I did. But that's not fighting. That's not after the whistle. But that's between the whistles. Yes. I never condone fighting on a football field because that's penalties. I don't coach penalties. I don't coach false starts. I don't coach after the whistle grabbing somebody's face mask. I don't coach that. So I don't know what you're talking about with Indianapolis when I condone fighting. That's putting words in my mouth. I've never in my life condoned a fight. That's a penalty.
Mm.
And that's true, D-Mac, because I know.
What's true?
Well, the fact of what Freddie Kitchens is saying. When his players do something on the field, it falls back on the head coach because he's the head coach. It's the idea that he is establishing the type of culture that has allowed these players to believe that they can do this. I've never met a coach that has downright suggested that as players that we go out and we do certain things. It's like you play hard, you play fast, and you play smart.
We just saw Cleveland here. They were sloppy. They seemed unorganized to a certain degree, and they've been having a rough season.
Mm-hmm.
They had gone 1-31 in the past 2 years. Is it crazy to think that there's been a culture of, you know, don't stand around there and be pushovers that sort of led to this?
Well, come on, D-Mac. You can say that as a coach and say, well, listen, we're not going to be pushed around. It's another thing if you're saying that we're not going to be pushed around and we're going to do A, B, C, and D.
Yeah, that's entirely different. That wasn't the only dangerous moment out there last night. Dude got thrown out for targeting as well.
There's been a generalized lack of accountability on that football team, which has led to this. And Todd Haley spoke on it about this situation, and I would absolutely agree. When you've got guys going out there with the distractions that Freddie Kitchens has allowed this year, mm-hmm. between the watches, the shoes, everything else that's going on, Baker Mayfield's comments, you know, you're not going to slow all that stuff down. There is a generalized lack of accountability on that football field, which I can almost guarantee you, if that happened on that field, what Myles Garrett just did right there, I can almost guarantee you that that's going on in practice, not with the helmet, not to that degree, but you're not punishing it, right? Good coaches, they understand in practice fights happen, and they're not going to really judge you for it. They're not going to really, like, internally truly be mad at you, but they will punish you regardless.
You know, it's kind of a ridiculous situation. There's like 14 seconds left. You're down multiple scores. The ball's deep in your own zone. To a certain degree, I don't even know why Pittsburgh was throwing the ball, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I guess you keep trying, but I mean, it was a bit preposterous. And then, you know, when Garrett grabbed him, I mean, what's he really trying to do there? The game's over.
It was premeditated, D-Mac.
It felt like there was something going. It was a wrestling move to throw Rudolph down. Now, is that, and then it just went from there, right? That's a cultural thing. That's a team thing right there. Or that's a rogue player who really has no regard for his team whatsoever.
What's wrong with me, Nick? You can say his name right. The other guy that came in and hit Rudolph in the back.
Ogunjobi.
Yeah. That's a perfect example. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? You're just going to come up and hit a quarterback in the back and knock him on the ground? Give me a break. That is just another example of the lack of accountability.
Should Freddie Kitchens face some discipline?
No, for what? He didn't take part in the act. It's just like, if my kid did something wrong, now if someone wants to punish me for what my kid did.
But if you're Jimmy Haslam, are you looking at your coach like, what is going on here?
No,
with this team?
You're looking at your coach, but you're also looking at John Dorsey. You're looking at the position coach. You're looking at Coach Wilkes, the defensive coordinator. Right? You're looking at your coaching staff, and you're sitting them down today on Friday. Right. And you're telling them, hey, listen, this is not what we are about. The idea and the connotation in the narrative is that people think that we are a bunch of thugs in Cleveland. That's not who we are.
That's what they look like. That's exactly what they look like.
But that was just the action of one particular player.
That was two people.
Who's the second person? Talk about Ogunjobi?
Yes.
He was doing the same thing, if you want to look at it this way, that Pouncey and David DeCastro, who had him on the ground, was doing. They were coming to the aid of Mason Rudolph, and Ogunjobi's coming to the aid of Myles Garrett. Even though I don't condone it, I don't think it's right.
He shot a guy from behind, knocked him on the ground. Also, keep in mind, Myles Garrett, he ended Trevor Siemian's season with a dirty play as well.
Oh, what was that? I forget.
No, it was early on against the Jets, and he went low, took the ankle out, ended his season, and it was a controversial play.
Okay.
He is not a stranger to these controversial
Here
plays.
Here is Odell Beckham Jr. after the game.
Not for what direction we're headed in for this organization. It just was not where we've been going. And it does feel like we lost the game. As much as you want to put a smile on and walk out of here, there was so much in that game that there is to look at. So, you know, it's just back to the drawing board. Just be 1-0 next week. That's all we can focus on is Miami right now. whatever consequences for our actions, you know, we'll take it on the chin like a man.
It's pretty wild. I mean, you know, they forced Pittsburgh to throw four interceptions. They won the game relatively easy. If they didn't have a kicker who was terrible, by the way, that game probably is even more of a blowout than it was. They more or less dominated the Steelers. Huge win for them, and it doesn't feel like it.
You know who was, you know who is shockingly the most mature human being in this entire situation? Baker Mayfield.
That's inexcusable. I don't care, rivalry or not, we can't do that. That's kind of the history of, you know, what's been going on here lately, hurting yourself, and that's just endangering the other team. That's inexcusable. He knows that. I hope he does now. It's tough.
And that was on the field.
That's right.
Moments afterwards.
It would have been incredibly easy for the quarterback or any teammate of Myles Garrett to step up in front of a camera and be like, well, you guys don't know what happened. You guys weren't out there. Actions, things happen. Football, tempers flare. It would have been very, very easy to try to have your teammates back.
Well,
the
more common thing is, I was on the sideline. I really didn't see what happened. I'm going to have to take a look at it later.
So, you know what? Credit to Baker Mayfield, for real. You know, as much as we make fun of him and as much as he deserves it at times, hats off, man. You handled that situation well.
Oof. Crazy, huh?
It's a lot to chew on, and it got Twitter ablaze, on fire. I mean, people on both sides were weighing in. The Twitterverse, former players, I mean, NFL personnel in a certain degree, but it's just something that should not have ever happened or taken place.
Well, the most common thing I saw is just, I've never seen this before. You know, it seems like such an unusual thing on the NFL playing field. This seems like bizarrely unusual. Just, I don't recall it during games. I don't know if things happen in practice. I'm sure they do.
Here's a good
example. During a game?
You'll remember this one.
Okay.
Training camp, 2008, I believe it was. We're playing the Dallas Cowboys. It's on Hard Knocks. Flozell Adams ripped a dude's helmet off and started bashing him with it. The only difference was he didn't connect to the head. It was a full team-on-team brawl after it, though.
I guess you're – boy, I got to think back on that one. Okay, so the latest news is that indefinite suspension for Myles Garrett. Marquise Pouncey gets 3 games. Ogunjobi gets 1. But I think there could be other things as well. Both teams got fined $250,000 and probably more fallout. So we'll keep you updated on the news as it goes. Meanwhile, there's Broncos news for sure, especially with Bryce Callahan. He does not have a screw loose, but it's not good news. Details on The Countdown next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Countdown. Here's The Drive with Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac. 3.
It looks like Mason Rudolph is going to get fined as well, as Tom Pelissero from NFL Network is reporting. What would be the appropriate fine for Mason Rudolph, Tyler?
If he kicked him in the groin, which has been alleged, but there's no video proof of it. There are pictures that make it look like it. So I'm not saying he did or he did not, but if he kicked him in the groin, if he grabbed the groin, for sure there is a fine in there, maybe a $20,000, $30,000 type
so
of fine.
So you see it being light.
But only, and that is the only thing that is fine worthy, if indeed he actually did do that part.
Nick?
The fine and a 1-game suspension, because every person that's been involved with the altercation, they've at least got 1 game or more. Ogunjobi got 1 game for pushing Mason. So for me, I mean, Mason's, I guess, interaction or responsibility in that situation wasn't as big of a deal as it was for Myles Garrett. But since everyone else has one game, man, immediately $20,000 fine.
Well, I don't think he's going to be suspended again, but I bet you the fine is pretty stiff. I bet you it's at a six-figure number.
Oh, I doubt it.
Based on everything else that sort of went down with this. I don't think he'll get suspended, though.
What would he get fined for? Like, you guys tell me, what should he get fined for?
Kicking him. And
if he kicks him.
You know,
wrestling
with his helmet. Well, you ask me if, or what would it be, that's what it would be.
Well, yeah, if he actually did kick him, I would agree. That is fine worthy. But the helmet part, to me, I'm like, man, you got pinned to the ground, you got wrestled to the ground late, and you're trying to fight the guy off of you. I'm not gonna suspend you or fine you for that.
Two.
Bryce Callahan officially goes on IR. And apparently when he got his foot stepped on, it was a bent screw. The comments were, you can play depending on how much pain you can tolerate. Fellas, are we casting any negative thoughts towards Bryce Callahan that he wasn't just tough enough to play?
No, I'm never going to say that, because when I was in San Francisco, Richard Sherman was coming off an Achilles injury. And they shaved off his heel and they attached it with the screw. And that bothered him all year. It's about being able to fight through that pain. Some individuals have a higher pain threshold than others. And because I played this game, I know that's not like a wimp type of injury. So I'm not going to cast any aspersions on, you know, Bryce Callahan. My thing was, I would hope that the team would have done this sooner and put him on IR.
Yeah, I'm not judging the player in this situation. I mean, you got a screw that got bent that is in your foot. That sounds painful. That sounds difficult to cut. That sounds difficult to play football with. If anything, I would judge the organization for attempting to make this work for so long. And if they're saying it's about the pain threshold, well, clearly he's been telling you that there's pain over and over and over. So go get the thing fixed. Take the screw out and put a new one in.
Yeah, I can't. It was a weird thing to hear, like, oh, well, you could play through something. It's like, oh, come on. You know, I think that's a weird thing. I don't think Bryce Callahan is a wimp or anything like that. So I'll assume that it was simply too painful for him to play on. It just is crazy when you think of his money, what, $7 million, right? Theo Riddick was a couple million. And Juwan James. I mean, think about that for a second. How much money the Broncos have spent that got...
No production.
Just nothing. I mean, it's crazy.
One.
Adam Thielen is not going to play for the Vikings. He is hurt. How big of an advantage does that give the Broncos? What kind of factor is that in the game?
It changes things as far as play calling is concerned. But the one thing that has happened for the Minnesota Vikings is that they didn't have Adam Thielen last week. So it was a heavy dose of Dalvin Cook, you know, Stephon Diggs, and the usage of their three tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to really change that much in the game plan. You're going to see more of Irv Smith Jr. and more of the passing situation than we've seen in the games leading up to the matchup on Sunday.
Well, it's a big deal. He's one of the best wide receivers in the game. So anytime a guy like that is not on the field, that's advantage to the opponent. That being said, it is a stout wide receiver group in general. So it's not just him. I mean, they've got backups that are playing good football. B.C. Johnson's playing good football. Irv Smith is playing good football as a tight end. Laquon Treadwell. They've got guys all over the place. So unfortunately, I can't tell you that that's like a significant deal for the Broncos, as in like, oh, all of a sudden we're not 10.5 points underdogs.
That probably doesn't make a difference. Probably not, right?
It makes a difference. I mean,
does it take points off the board?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. What's it? What? All right. Give me some points. How many points is Thielen's absence worth? Are we seeing a drive stall because Thielen's not there?
That's tough.
Are we not converting first downs?
Well, Thielen not being on the field, it takes a little away from explosive splash plays in a vertical passing game.
Yeah.
But now they still have a way that
slows the game down then?
Slightly. And that's why we've seen the utilization of more of Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison.
At the end of the day, it's a running football team. So you got to stop the running game.
If you don't stop that, you don't have to worry about defending any passes.
I was watching my Smoky Hill Buffaloes lost to Columbine yesterday. And Columbine has for high school football, a ridiculous running game. I mean, it is really, really impressive. And so we're just watching on the internet. It's great now. You don't have to do anything and stay nice and comfortable in your home. And my wife is watching it, and I'm watching, and Smokey Hill has the box loaded up. They know what's coming, and they can't stop him anyway. And I go to my wife, watch. You'll see it. Play action. They're going to – you'll see it. It'll happen. It'll be a touchdown, you know. And sure enough, it was like third and 12 at like the 27-yard line, loaded up. You know, you think, and the tight end breaks free, and boom, there you go, 27-yard touchdown pass. These were like four passes, like the whole game or something like that. And I'm converting this into the NFL because what works when you have a running game is play action. Oh, man, if the Broncos get caught up in that, though, it'd just be like, they can't, right? They're not going to get caught up in just something as simple as that, are they?
That's possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Minnesota Vikings do.
That's who they are.
That's their entire identity.
That's Gary Kubiak's offense. That's what it is. Establish the run, screen game, stretch game.
Play action.
Play action.
And then defensive backs are just throwing their hands up in the air at each other because we just screwed everything up.
By the way, just really quick, what Nick just mentioned about the screen game, this is probably the best screen team in the NFL right now.
Okay.
Screen game is ridiculous.
It's going to be a tough battle for sure. Congratulations to Columbine, by the way.
The Countdown.
Cecil Lammy will preview the Minnesota game, and there's something so cool for Cecil outside of the sports world. It is ridiculous, and I can't wait to get his reaction to it next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer of the Denver Broncos. Here's the drive.
Our guest is Cecil Lammy. Cecil, dude.
Yes, sir.
I saw Ford versus Ferrari today.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, you already saw it?
Of course, man. Opening night, I'm not going to miss that. As a person whose car is autographed by Carroll Shelby and is obviously a big Shelby fan, and I'm at that moment in my life where I'm the old guy who wears nothing but clothes that have the style of his car. So I have Shelby gear, Shelby backpack, Shelby hat, Shelby coat, everything. I absolutely love the movie, and it's not a racing movie. And it's not really Ford versus Ferrari. It's Shelby versus Ford versus Ferrari. It's magnificent. It's going to win a bunch of awards. And it's the reason why you go to movies. It's a great story.
I would never know that you have a Shelby by every video that you do in your garage.
I really, you know, some movies that you say, oh, I want to see that, I on purpose try to not know anything about it. You know, it's like, oh, I saw it, Christian Bale, Matt Damon, car thing looks cool. I definitely want to see it, right? But then I shut my mind off. Like, I don't want to know anymore. I want to be surprised by everything, right? And so I'm in there, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is a Cecil movie. You know, I had no idea Matt Damon played Carroll Shelby, Shelby Cobra, the whole thing. And I didn't know anything about the story, which is really amazing. So, boy, Cecil, I was like, oh, my God. So, wait, when did you see it then? I thought it just came out today.
Yeah, they had opening night, and then I went and saw it again today with my best friend, Big E. What's up? So, you know, two times. Who?
The big car enthusiast. How come you never asked me?
Well, he's
to
not
take
a big
run?
Car enthusiast. He's, to be specific, he's a Shelby. Right, Cecil? I think. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, I only drive Fords. I do have my Jeep, which I do love, but yeah, I'm a Shelby guy. I'm a Ford guy. But I've always wanted a Shelby. I thought I'd get one when I turned 50. I was able to get one about a decade earlier. And I'm very fortunate, to be in the club, man. It's awesome. It's great to be a car guy.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. All right. Good. I like the movie too. And I didn't know anything about it. I thought it was really cool, but I was like, oh my God, this is a Cecil movie. I was excited for you. And, you're excited for yourself. Cecil, let's get to, your game plan as you broke it down in 1043thefan.com. What is your game plan for victory?
Yeah. The game plan for victory better include a lot of Cortland Sutton. Because that's where you pick on the Minnesota defense, and they don't. There's not many weak spots at all, and even the names. When you say the names, Xavier Rhodes, like that's a quality name, Pro Bowl type of cornerback. Trey Waynes, quality name, Pro Bowl level quarterback, cornerback, and neither one of them are playing at a high level. They got Hughes in there as well, running around making plays as their third corner, but you know both of them been banged up, Rhodes and Waynes specifically with an ankle and an elbow issue. So Cortland Sutton and maybe a dash of somebody else in the passing game. I don't think it's Noah Fant because you're going to have that safety play that you see from this team. Very deep safeties. They give you the bucket throws all day because they want you to make those difficult throws. And if you can, if you're Brandon Allen, if you have the time, they're seventh in the league in sacks. the bucket throws are going to be there, but you're going to have to get the time and you're going to have to make those incredibly difficult throws. Then the receivers are going to have to hang on to the ball because this is a very, very physical fly to the football Mike Zimmer defense this team's going to face. So Courtland Sutton has to have the best game of the season if the Broncos have any chance of winning.
Cesar, so let's just say, and I don't know your predictions just yet, but let's say the Broncos go on the road, they go to Minnesota, and they come away with the victory. What does this mean moving forward as far as Brandon Allen and Drew Lock?
Yeah, it means it's delayed further. I mean, it's probably delayed anyway, at least a couple of weeks, the Buffalo game, and we're kind of all crossing our fingers that we get something for the Chargers in terms of Drew Lock. But if you win another one, that's what it's all about. The AFC outside of Baltimore, New England is wide open. I don't want to say Broncos and playoffs in the same sentence because I think it's ridiculous. But you want to send the message that you're still in it to try to win games. It's not yet time to shut it down and go into evaluation mode. So what happens if they win? Well, it delays everyone's Drew Lock fantasy for at least another week. And, hey, good for them, right? We've seen this team is close. They're not as bad as their record indicates. All apologies to Bill Parcells. But they're also not a good, deep team. And it's that lack of depth, these injuries that they've had to deal with that have caused all of this. But there's something there if they can continue to build on it. And here's the thing. Find a quarterback ASAP, however you do that, because – you're about ready to have a top five, number one type of defense again. That's what Vic Fangio is building, provided they keep Justin Simmons, you know, guys in free agency, stuff like that. But you do not want to waste your defense the way the Bears are wasting their defense because they took the wrong quarterback. You got to find your guy because you're going to have a window with this defense starting next year.
Cecil, I have to ask, how'd you feel about the Von Miller situation yesterday?
Tyler, I knew you would be the one to ask that. Why do you think I went to see Ford versus Ferrari twice? Talk about being depressed. Like, oh my God, I was just asking a question.
All right, hold on.
Like,
you got to recap. You got to recap. So that's a funny question. But just for everybody who didn't hear it, Cecil found a very advanced stat. Cecil, right? And where did you find that stat?
I have access to the ESPN Employees Only database, and they have NFL Next Gen stats, and they're starting, they have this quality department out in Bristol, and they're starting to do more Next Gen stats, and they keep sending emails like, hey, look at this, look at what we found, look what we can discover, and that's why I discovered these two stats are very important.
And what was the stat?
The stats are the number of incompletions brought on by your pressure. Von Miller is number one in the league with 22 incompletions. Okay. Credited to him, and then number one in the league with 4 interceptions credited to him because of his pressure.
All right, so Von's getting beat up a little bit, and then you roll out the advanced stat, which sounded like you were trying to help him out a tad.
Yeah, not only that, I was actually wondering, as you were asking the question, were you physically massaging his shoulders at the same time?
Wow.
Well, I certainly was blowing bubbles. And here's the thing. Like, I got into the question, and then I was just, like, rambling, and he totally didn't know what I was talking about. So I should have just asked him, give him the stat, and said, are you sick of being asked about sacks? Because the very first question, of course, is BK. Hey, what about sacks? Your sacks are down. You know, nobody's being mean. Nobody in the Denver media is mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, are you sick of getting asked about sacks? Because when you put on the film, his best game, and Tyler, I'd love to know, and Nick, I'd love to know if you agree with this. D-Mac, you too, of course.
No, you don't
His
care.
Best game might have been the KC game. He's not even in the box score.
Mm.
But go back and watch the film. You see a guy making plays against the run. You see a guy getting pressure that's not showing up in the normal, quote-unquote, box score. But when you watch the film, when you chart plays, when you look at advanced data, not bullcrap stats that don't mean anything. It has to back up the film. And those two things obviously back up the film. So I was trying to help Von out. You know?
Yeah, but at what point, as you were asking the question, did you realize, oh my God, I am dead asking this question? Like, at what point?
When Von started rolling his eyes and everybody started laughing, and I'm like, even the guys that ask horrible questions, and maybe if I had a couple of pops, I'd tell you who those people are, but we have some people that ask awful questions. And I asked the worst question yesterday, and I'm banging on these people, but like, even those people were laughing at me, and I was like, oh, forget you, forget you, you're cool, forget you, I'm out. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, listen, man, I love compliments. I love when people say good things about me. So anytime you want to come in a little bit early for your show and start massaging my shoulders as well, you are more than welcome.
And by the way, the question on the text line, what's a Shelby? Of course it's a car, but what type of car is it specifically?
Shelby GT.
Well, yes, I have the number 7 2007 Shelby GT.
And what's special about it?
That it was limited to just a few thousand copies, basically, a few thousand production, and it's signed by Carroll Shelby, and it's, you know, souped up. It's a souped up Mustang, basically, with the Shelby package, racing suspension, supercharger, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Is it a muscle car or not?
Yes, yeah. Oh, I'm only American muscle. While I respect fast cars like Fast and the Furious, I don't understand the guys that drive like hatchbacks with spoilers on them. I'm a muscle car guy all the way.
I miss our show, man. I'm just going to tell you right now. I kind of miss it.
Okay.
Caesar, have you ever seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
Eleanor, man. I want Eleanor.
Yes.
That's me. That's the greatest Shelby ever made.
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you, Cecil. We'll talk to you later.
Be good, fellas.
Bye.
I love that. I want a Shelby GT myself.
What's that mean to me?
I love that car.
Okay.
Eleanor.
Go get one.
Have you ever seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
I drive a Toyota Yaris.
Have you seen the movie?
I've seen scenes from the movie.
No, you have to see the movie.
Oh, really? Do I have to see it?
Yes, you have to.
Really?
Yes.
Which one?
The Gone in 60, well, not the Steve McQueen one, but the one with the updated version with Nicolas Cage and Angelina Jolie.
Okay. I'll go see it.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not a car guy. Can you tell? But I went to see the car movie. You're laughing over there. Are you a car guy?
I'm not a car guy.
Okay.
Rishi, are you a car guy?
Don't talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I like cars, but I don't know that I'd consider myself like a gearhead or anything.
Yeah. If you want a Shelby, go get a... I just know when Cecil got a Shelby, it was like the greatest day of his life of all time ever. And I'm just like, way to go, pal. That's awesome.
It's like his lock screen on his phone.
I know.
It's the background
everything.
Of his computer.
Yeah. Then he blew me away with every paycheck. Cecil buys at least a one pair, if not more, of like $300 to $400 pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. Jordans.
Jordans. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Every paycheck.
I've seen him with a variety pair of Jordans, but I didn't know that he was actually doing that.
Cecil's like the coolest nerd I've ever seen in my life. Is that a compliment?
Sure.
Football at 4 is next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.